Blog Talk Radio.
It's showtime.
Greetings and welcome to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show, a show about disability rights, disability services, and your disability dollars. Your voice and advocate, voice your concerns, voice your opinion, but please let your voice be heard. Our mission is to bring to you the people, the places, and the things that can affect persons with disability and seniors' problems that also want to be included into society and be more independent in their home and in their community. America, welcome to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, your friendly neighborhood networker. Our motto is, increase your network and you'll increase your net worth. And behind microphone number two is our hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee. Again, greeting my listening audience. This is Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. Again, I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. Although I've been blind for more than 55 years, when I was a mere lad of 13, on 4th of July, a cherry bomb exploded in my face and blinded me in both eyes. But in spite of that, every morning I rise, I feel blessed, highly favored, and I know God is good. Greetings and how are you today, Ms. Renee?
Well, Reverend Ray, I have been living vicariously through the Olympics. You know, I see these Olympians do all of these superhuman things, and I keep thinking, I wonder if I could have done that if I had been properly trained as a youth. You know? I'm running and I'm swimming and...
And you know, Ms. Renee, and I'm only glad to say this, at our age, looking at that and just thinking about it and not trying to do it, because if we did, that's why it's a wonderful thing for one of our main sponsors is real-time pain relief. You just rub it on, and the pain is gone. Well, we'll get to them later. But also, Ms. Renee, I want to say that I was so jazzed. The American Council of the Blind, ACB, had a week-long, their 60th convention, and this the second year that they did it by Zoom because of the pandemic. I am the vice president of the D.C. Council of the Blind in Washington, D.C. They had over 100 breakout sessions anywhere, anything from guide dog, talking about people from international blind people, talking about all kind of new technology. I mean, it just got me so jazzed up that I am going to run for president. I am formally announcing that Reverend Ray Razor is throwing his hat or his cane or his guide dog into the ring to run for the District of Columbia Council of Blind. I mean, with so many wonderful things that some of the affiliates around the country is doing, and I just feel that some of those things, we don't even have to reinvent the wheel. All we have to do is just adopt them and do some of those things. And just at the end of the day, it's just, you know, what are we doing or what have we done for persons that's blind and low vision in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere. But it just so jazzed up, so I'm just announcing that I'm running. My campaign slogan is taken from Ecclesiastic. It's a time this and a time that. And that, my slogan is, it's time to grow, and this is a time to go. And grow means grow our chapter affiliate and go out into the community and make a difference. So I'm declaring, Ms. Renee, I'm declaring. I'm just jazzed up about it. So anyway, we got a good show today as usual. So Ms. Renee, go ahead and give us the rundown for our show today.
I would be honored. But I just want to know, are we going to get T-shirts if you're running?
Yes, I'm working on that. I'm just working on what my mascot's going to be.
Okay.
I got to have a cool mascot. Okay, and I'm giving everybody whistles.
Oh, my. Well, we'll do our show rundown. We always begin with the adventures of Mr. Ray and Miss Raven, and then in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly, news which affects the disability communities. And we always sign off with your call to action. And then we have our guest today. Well, when we think of massage, we think of a getaway where we let ourselves relax. And then it's back to schedules and commitments. And our guest, Erica McLeish, certified massage therapist, makes the case for regular massages in the middle of your real life. Back over to you, Rev.
All righty. I'm looking forward to that. You know, Ms. Renee, once in my life, I was then they called them masseuse, but now they're much more sophisticated, and I hope the money matched the sophistication name that I was a masseuse when I started my career making a real paycheck. But anyway, that's another story. So, you know, I like to start this show with the adventures of Reverend Ray and his German Shepherd. Seeing that dog, Mr. Raven, that dog wonders, and is brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store. And you can visit them at www.thebigbadwolf.com. And that wolf is W-O-O-F, wolf, a wolf. And believe me, I just can't say enough about their products, top of the shelf products. Miss Raven, she's my number 7th guide dog, and I've been with this company, been one of our major sponsors for the last, 5 or 6 years. I think they've been with us just about almost at the beginning of Sight and Vision starting our show. As a matter of fact, 2012, if Reverend Ray don't try to do any of those gymnastic exercises that he saw on Olympus, he'll be around for next year. We'll be celebrating our 10th year, and we're going to have a blowout.
Wow.
So we hope that the COVID be kind and recess and leave us alone, because we're certainly going to have a big blowout for S&D celebrating the 10th year of the radio show. But be that as it may, the dog food and the cat food and all the little germal things that run around in the cages in your house and goldfish, they have top-of-the-line products. So please call Miss Penny, which is the proprietor, and that number is 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. Oh, now, I don't have an adventure because Reverend Ray is being very cautious, and he do not want Miss or Mrs. Delta to jump on him with this new virus. So he's staying very close to home. But just some tips for your guide dog in this situation. Please go to GDUI, and that's a guide dog users Inc. And look up some of the exercises, and they had a nice session on what to do with your guide dog during this pandemic, because you're not getting the dog the kind of work that it needs. And so some of these dogs, if they're work driven and purpose driven. So if you're not out there working them a couple of miles a day and a couple of hours a day, they're going to start getting into things and developing some bad habits, and you developing some bad habits, and because you're not running them through their obedience exercises like you're supposed to. They're not getting their traffic checks when they cross the streets and stuff. So they have some really good podcasts as well as some videos to show you how to keep your guide dog engaged, and through just doing some different exercises, fun exercises and all, you're keeping their skills up. So that's the tip I want to give you until Reverend Ray is do not have to put on gloves and his scrubs and his mask and his hat and his, you know, all of that again. There, he'll start be doing some more adventures with Miss Raven. And that is brought to you by that segment, The Big Bad Wolf. And that wolf is W-O-O-F-F. Again, that you can call them at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. And something they were doing long before the pandemic hit us is they will deliver. And you can go to their website, TheBigBadWolf.com, W-O-O-F, and they will deliver. And tell Miss Penny and them you heard it on Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show, and they'll throw something a little extra in that bag for your pet. Back over to you, Miss Renee.
Well, we want to welcome our guests. I mean, our schedules, our commitments, our commutes, they take a toll on us. And our guest, Erica McLeish, certified massage therapist, makes the case for regular massages in the middle of your real life, in spite of COVID. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for being our guest, Erica. I really appreciate it. I've been talking to Erica, I don't know, probably a couple of years about the radio show, but now we have the opportunity to have her come on. And massage therapy, which is dear to my heart. But like I said, when I went to Maryland School for the Blind, they had a program with a Jewish community center, and they would train blind individuals how to become then what's called masseuse. And I did that, and I got certified for it and all that kind of stuff. And then when I got out of school, I got my first job, believe it or not, down at the National Press Building on 14th and F Street, which is still there. And it was interesting. It was interesting. So I'm looking forward to talking about they call it now massage therapist. Is that right, Ms. Renee? Well, I had to correct a political language and don't get all these people
well,
calling me and jumping on me and beating me up
right.
And stuff.
We'll find out from
Erica,
our guest if that's the correct term.
Okay, so starting, Erica, would you be kind enough to share with us some of your background and how you got to where you are now? And we'll take that slow, but just share with us some of your background and where you grew up and that kind of thing.
Okay, sure. I grew up in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale area. And, you know, came up to the I went to school in North Carolina to a small private school, and then found out about coming up to the D.C. area and got an internship through Internship for Experiential Learning up in this area, and I got accepted into the program that was, I think, my last year of college. It's been a while now. So, and then I really enjoyed that program, and then I decided to stay in the D.C. area. So I've been up here since 1996.
So you're a Floridian. Now
yeah.
You say you went to a small school. Was you blind? How did you lose your sight?
No, I have retinopathy of prematurity, so I was premature baby, and
okay.
From birth, but I was a high partial, so I had about 20/400 all the way up till I was probably mid-30s, and then the vision started going, you know, getting worse. So, I mean, I didn't even really use a cane. I didn't really use a cane till I was, well, actually, probably till I came up here, till 96, because I didn't really, you know, could see enough to get around without a cane.
Did you ever have the experience with, which I always regret losing my sight at 13. Did you ever have the experience of driving?
No. My sight wasn't that good.
Oh, I see.
Oh, no.
Okay.
It wasn't good.
You live down there in the boondocks, couldn't you be driving around on them mountains and country roads and stuff? You wouldn't be hitting nothing but cows and chickens, right?
Well, no. The funny thing is, when I was 14, my parents took me to a place, and I got to drive.
Oh, really? Okay, we're going to explore that. When we hear that music, that means Reverend Ray got to go in his pocket and pay some people like Miss Renee and other employees and, you know, stuff like that. For some reason, you know, they need money for clothes and food and all that. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back on the other side of Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show with our very special guest, Miss Erica McLeese. All right, Miss Renee.
You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Back over to Reverend Ray and our guest.
All right, Miss Erica, you were telling me that your father took you as 14 to drive. Now, obviously, my father must have loved me as much as your father loved you. So what kind of experience he decided to give you to do this?
It was just, it was on a small street, so there weren't a lot of cars, but I didn't last too long. It may be like a minute as far as being
uh-huh.
in the car. You know, it didn't last long. I stalled out, and that was the end of that driving experience.
isn't that right? That's interesting.
Was the end of it for me.
Now, Erica, do you have any other siblings? And if so, did they have visual problems?
I don't have any siblings, just me.
Oh, wow. So you was the princess then.
No, just me with a lot of cats. We grew up with, I liked animals. So I had cats and some chickens and all kinds of animals, a lot of cats. And I had a dog, a small little poodle.
And then, moving to the city.
Chicken and cats together, isn't that like indoor playtime for Bill?
Well, the cats were outdoor cats, so
they didn't chase. They didn't chase your chickens.
No, they didn't. When we had an acre of land, we didn't have a huge amount of space, but it was good.
So you say when those cats saw those chickens, they ain't like,
No. No. Oh, no.
Oh.
No, we just had a lot of different animals. That's all. We just had lots of different animals, but a lot of cats, you know, and stuff. So.
Well, you know, it's hard enough for a single child to grow up with all their so-called able-bodied senses. So what was it like for you let me ask you this. During the time you was growing up, did you realize that you had some limitations in terms of your sight and your parents, and did it affect how they raised you or how you was raised?
I mean, I think it did affect me. It affected me because I didn't learn Braille, but I did have – Well, let's see. I think it was in high school I had, like, books on tape, you know, it's Recording for the Blind. Now it's not called Recording for the Blind anymore. It's called Learning Ally.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, you know, I used that. And you know, there were some, like, elementary school, I guess, was a little difficult because when the teacher asks you to read out loud and you have to hold the book really close to your face and you can't read as fast as everybody else because, you know, I didn't learn Braille, you can't go back. You have to keep moving forward, I think. But, and I eventually have learned Braille a little bit. I mean, I don't know it very well, but I can read like labels and things and things like that.
Oh,
but,
not like these super readers that in contests and stuff, speed contests. I think I can
listen to something as fast as somebody can read Braille. I can get the information in a different way. Like now, everything's, you know, we all have our iPhones and we have everything's digital now, so it makes it a lot easier.
Because I was going to ask you in terms of your studying and the classes and all and the program you got into, you know, what kind of media you use to be able to, you know, learn the things you needed to learn.
Oh, for massage therapy?
Yes.
Okay, so I was reading, I was using a program at that time, I don't know if they still have it out, called Dolphin Easy Reader, and I was using that program. Then I think it's been a while now. I've been a licensed massage therapist for almost 10 years, so it's been a while.
Wow.
Let's see. I think I was using it.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to
go
get
ahead,
the delay.
Dolphin Easy Reader, and it turns out, which really worked well, it turns out that this gentleman was he went through the program before me, and he told me about it, and then it turns out that I went through – my school, and there was another visually impaired person there with me, and then another one followed behind her. So it just so happened all of us were kind of following behind each other. There was about four of us at the time, so that was very unique. And I would have my assignments emailed to me, or because I did use the tape recorder, I think, at that time. You know, I don't know how they do it now because, like I said, it's been a long time now. So.
Right.
So how did you decide on massage therapy? How did you interested in that field at all?
I'm so happy I have chosen it. I love it. I was in a small car accident, and I got a flyer through the mail with a chiropractor, and I met a massage therapist there, and she encouraged me. She's like, why don't you do this? And I'm like, I don't know. You know? I was just kind of like, I don't know. And she was sighted, of course, but I wish there actually were more blind massage therapists. I don't know about this area so much, but I wish there were more of us working in the field because it's a great field. I mean, you can have your own business. You can work for other people, you can you can work for large companies, small companies, you can have your own business, and you're helping people. You're really making them feel better.
Exactly. So now, what kind of training does it take? You talked about how you got assignment, but how long does the training take, and what does the training entail?
Well, it depends on the school. I went to Potomac Massage Training Institute they used to be in D.C., now they're in Maryland. It's a year and a half training, depending on the school. They may do it in 9 months now, but at that time it was a year and a half. I went part-time, and mind you, I was working full-time, so I was really busy, and raising three kids. I was really busy.
Wow.
I was working at night.
Wow, you really graduated from them chickens and those cats, huh?
Yeah. Okay. I was working at night and going to school during the day part-time and, you know, working full-time at night. And I had to do my assignments at night because it was the only time I could do them. And the boys were in, I think at that time they were in daycare or something, you know. Babysitting, you know, they were getting, doing that. And then my mother-in-law would help us. You know, she lived with us at the time, so she would help out. Thank God, you know, that was good at the time. So it was a lot. I mean, I don't know if I'd recommend doing what I did. I was crazy, like a crazy woman. I just don't know if I would recommend it, but it can be done. If you really want to be either you can be a licensed massage therapist or you can be a registered massage therapist. They're two different things. The licensed massage therapist can work in a doctor's office, you know, doctor's setting, hospital. The registered massage therapist, they just can't work in a medical setting. That's the difference.
Let me ask you, is that Reverend Ray alluded to his life back when he was a masseuse.
Is there a difference between a massage therapist and a masseuse?
Well, it just doesn't, it just sounds, it's more proper to say licensed massage therapist because, you know, you're going to be interacting with other healthcare professionals, and I think more insurance companies honestly should cover massage. Some do, but not, you know, not as many. Just like, you know, other things like acupuncture, they should cover, like, you know, other health modalities. They really should, but they don't as much.
No,
I agree with you.
Let me just
follow up on this for a second, Rev, and then I'll let you.
Mm-hmm.
So the massage therapist has to be licensed. What does that mean? Does each state have its licensing laws? Do you have to go to the state capital for testing? What happens?
Well, Maryland is pretty strict. You have to pass a test. Well, at least in Maryland, you can be nationally certified. But the main thing is, they're trying to make it in Maryland so that everybody's a licensed massage therapist. You have to have 60 college credits to be a licensed massage therapist. Not everybody has that, but they're trying to make it. I don't know if it's going to be by 2024 or 2023. They're trying to make it so everybody has, you know, everybody's a LMT eventually. And every state is different.
License,
that's why you
LMT.
Yeah,
is
you
license
have
and train.
No. LMT is licensed
LMT.
Massage therapist. Licensed
LMT.
Massage therapist.
I got you.
Yeah, and Maryland's requirements. You have to have 24 continuing education units every 2 years, and you have to know CPR, and you have to have three certification in ethics, three in HIV, and one in it's called cultural diversity. So there's a lot of requirements, and you have to keep up with all that stuff. So if you're licensed in other states, you have to pay licensing fee for each state. You know, if you're licensed in Virginia, if you're licensed in D.C., so it gets expensive. So, I'm just licensed in Maryland. That's enough for me.
and you're saying that you have to keep the certification up, so it's not like you get a certificate or a diploma and like that's it. I mean, you have to keep
in
yourself.
Yeah, you have to keep it up, and you have to take classes. You could take online classes, or you can take hands-on. I prefer hands-on, of course, but. And the other thing that I found is, if I want to take really specialized courses, which I have, they're not all accessible. Like as far as the books, that's something that I have found. And I'm not sure of the way around that because, you know, it's, you're taking the classes just right away, unless you can get the books way ahead of time, you know, it's not easy. And I had to have my friend, she's a reader as well, but she helped me out because you have to be able to read the books and then take the courses to pass the, you know, to get the certification in whatever specialty you want to specialize in.
But, you know, this kind of conversation reminds people that books and certain materials aren't accessible. And as we get people interested in massage therapy or even to be to use a massage therapist, we have to be mindful that not everything is accessible. And you're pointing that out today, I think, and it's really important.
Well, not everything is accessible. And the other thing that I've found out that I've just figured out, well, I haven't figured it out yet, is during the pandemic, I took an online course in orthopedic. It was just an 8-hour CEU, but I was like, how in the world am I going to do this course? It's online, and it was an online class, like it was a live class, and I was like, how am I going to know what he's doing on the screen? And I had to get one of my sons to help me, to tell me what he was doing, because I was trying to do a workaround, and it didn't work that well. Because he's not a massage therapist, but he did the best he could, and I still got my 8 CEUs, which was great. But he's a doctor, really, but when he comes to town, because he lives out of state, when he comes back to town, I want to take a hands-on, but I have not figured out yet how to do the, if you have a video, you know, to get it described or something, you know, it's,
right.
You would need help or something. You would need, I don't know, that's something I haven't figured out yet.
Well, let me ask you this, then. You said, and I'm going to come back on the other side, but you said more visually impaired people or blind people should take this class. So I want to come back on the other side to explore with you. Then if that's the case, how come some, you know, blind people don't go to RSA, or that's Rehabilitation Services, or DOORS, Department of Rehabilitation Service, where they could, you know, then get the materials and stuff like that? Or some blind person, energetic blind person, entrepreneurial spirit, don't set up a their own business where they can start getting this material and make it accessible.
Right.
So we'll talk about that on the other side. This is Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and we will be back on the other side with our very special guest, Miss Erica.
We want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in Northwest Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium food. If your dog needs it, more than likely they have it. They have store-to-door deliveries in the DMV, so give them a call at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We're heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Back over to Reverend Radio Ray and in the news, the good, the bad, and...
All right, welcome back. This is our segment, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Issues that affect persons with disability and seniors. You know, I'm so pumped up about the ACB, American Council of the Blind National Convention, as well as 2 weeks ago, they had the National Federation of the Blind National Convention, and just the things that's going on in the blind community. I never think of blind, unless it's something I deny because of blindness. That is a curse, or that is I look at it as a uniqueness that because as a blind person, you get to do things and go places and experience things in a whole different way than able-bodied or sighted people do. So don't look at it as something that we lose out on. Look at it as an experience that that we can have that's different from other people. And I won't go into all that today, and we will explore that with a psychologist or something that's much better qualified than I am. But the good, I would say, like I said, there were so many fascinating things that at the convention. One of the things was these autonomous cars and how blind people are going to interact with the cars. And you can go, like I say, to acb.org or nfb.org and listen to some of the podcasts, see some of the videos, because they are paying attention, or at least there's some input from the disability community on how, when this the app that you have on your phone and you order this self-driven vehicle to come up to you, and they even got to figure out for when they get there how it can tell you where to come to the door, where to put your hand on the doorknob, on the door to open up the door. When you get in, should you sit behind the driver? Should you sit behind? I mean, it's just so many things involved in that. So it's fascinating, but just so many things that was good about that. And then now, I will say the bad, I won't make it ugly, but I'll say the bad is that the Olympus situation, I won't say the young lady's name because you can look all that up on the website, that was denied that her mother could not be her PCA to go with her over to Tokyo to participate in the games. And I mean, you think you practice and the kind of money and the travel it takes to go to all these different little tournaments and everything to put that kind of time in for 4 years, and you know, and then the opportunity like this and a situation like this that you don't get to go. But a number, and I know the American Council of the Blind, their executive director, Eric Bridges, the executive director of American Council of the Blind, as well as the executive director for the Blind, National Federation of the Blind, Mr. Neil Lewis, they are going to be meeting with the Olympics heads that made this kind of decision. Can't do anything about it now, but they will in the future work out some accommodations, and the young lady lives in Maryland, so our governor, Mr. Hogan, which he's a Republican, but he has a Democratic heart. He did a special giving to her and honoring her, which was, it doesn't replace going to Tokyo or being the Olympics, but that's the closest next thing that we did recognize her plight. So anyway, so that's in the news, good, the bad, the ugly, issues that affect persons with disabilities and seniors, and it's brought to you by what me and Miss Renee was talking about. If we tried to do some of them gymnastic moves, real-time pain relief is the best smelling, most effective, real-time pain relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on, and the pain is gone. Back over to you, Ms. Renee, to reintroduce our guest.
Okay. Well, whether it's for relaxation or pain relief, massage has its place in your self-care regimen. And our guest, Erica McLeish, certified massage therapist, gives us a look at the benefits of massage. So, Erica, that would be the question I want to ask. Is there different kinds of massages, say one for pain relief versus one for relaxation?
Yes, the Swedish is what a lot of clients like. I mean, people come for different reasons. So Swedish is more for, you know, circulation, relaxation, depending on the pressure that the client likes. Some people like medium pressure. Some people like deep tissue, which is going way down into the muscle belly. That's pretty intense. And then some people like really light massage. You know, and then, you know, you have some people like their essential oils, their aromatherapies, and, you know, that can be used as an enhancement depending on what they're coming in for. So some people like to have a stretch session. Some clients, they like reflexology, which is another enhancement, working the feet, the different pressure points on the feet. I'm certified in reflexology. Ooh. I love reflexology. It's so relaxing. Huh.
Who massages the massage therapist? Do you actually go to somebody?
You know, because I work at two different places. I work at a large massage place, and then I work for a woman that has her own business. And the answer to your question is, at the large massage place, we used to do exchanges, you know. We're really supposed to be getting massages monthly as therapists, but that doesn't happen much because we're busy. We're a very busy clinic, so it doesn't happen a lot. But shout out to my boss and shout out to my coworkers.
All right,
they are loved and appreciated.
Erica, let me back up on this. I would love someday to be able to say our radio show, this is sponsored by, and whatever the name of the therapist organization that is a business that run by blind people. So I'm backing into this way.
Okay.
Because this is a hands-on thing, and like I said, I've done this earlier in life, And and I know that the Japanese and other that they have where they specifically teach blind people to know. How come in America so far that we haven't had a blind person or a couple of blind people? I mean, I know technology's taken off and everybody wanna be a technology geek. But how come that in terms of a blind person or a couple of ambitious blind people haven't gotten together to create a blind therapy massage business? I mean, is it because of the money, or I mean, it's always the money, but you can get around that too. Oh, but is it because there's just because they just don't understand collectively as some blind people or a blind person that they that this would be a lucrative business? Or I mean, what would you think the holdback would be, since you think this, and I do think it because I have done it, that it would be a good profession?
I mean, it is a good profession. Eventually, I'm going to start my own. You know, that's my goal. But giving, there's a lot to it. I mean, you know, you have to hire, if you are, you know, hiring a receptionist would be helpful. You know, you have to hire somebody that can help you. You can't do everything, I guess is what I'm saying. And, you know, that's anybody going into business. You have to have help, you know, and that's something that's important to know. It's like a team effort, and it's great. You know, our unemployment rate is, I assume it's still 70% for blind and visually impaired. I don't know, but.
And more.
And it's tough, you know. God has definitely been a part of my life, and he's gotten me through a lot of different things, and it's not easy, you know. It's definitely not easy, but hiring visually impaired and blind people to do massages, great. Now, it does depend on the school. Some schools are honestly better than others. That's the other caveat. But and you do have to know a little bit about technology, because you have to put in SOAP notes, which are the notes that you use to, you know, when you do it, when you work on a massage client or work with a massage client, you have to take notes. So there is, there is some technology involved. There's the hands-on part, and then there's the technology part.
But I'm saying, as a business for a blind person to start with a couple other people to be able to sit up, I know where they have to get some sighted people to help out to translate the information, where they can get to the point where they can train the blind person. You know,
well,
I mean, like somebody just go to one of their counselors and say, hey, I want to become a therapist, masseuse person. Shouldn't they be able to be a blind organization where they could go to and they don't have to worry about trying to do on their own, getting material, translated, all that kind of thing?
I mean, it's a lot to answer that question, because there's apps on your phone, like Massage Book is an app, and, you know, making the apps accessible is another thing. You know, there's a lot of accessibility, because a lot of people think that, like, I've had situations, I'm not going to say, you know, too much about it, but I have had situations where clients don't want to work with me because I'm visually impaired. Now, you know, it happens, you know, it's just a difficult situation,
right.
And you have to figure, okay, how am I going to react to it? And I've gotten better. You know, I've had a couple of situations. This is over my career. So it hasn't happened a lot, but it's happened several times. Enough that it shouldn't have happened. You know what I mean? So.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. So if a blind person wanted to become a licensed therapist, then you that already been through those, you could save them the trouble of giving them some advice on how to handle those kind of things, where a sighted person couldn't. Giving them advice. That's what I want. So is it worthwhile exploring? Is it worthwhile exploring blind people trying to open up their own place?
I mean,
it is,
but I still say that having at least one sighted person there would be helpful.
Sure.
Only because, well, here's a couple things. Only because of safety. That's one thing.
Right.
Because you got to be careful nowadays. It's not like in the 50s and 60s and 70s and, you know, 80s. And it just isn't.
Yeah.
You have to be more careful now, and that's a sad reality, but that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Understand.
No, that is it.
And, yep.
Okay. That's all right. We train our guests
that's
quick. They understand. That's Miss Renee's rave that we're getting ready to go to.
Yeah, this is my rave. This is my rave segment. So hold on.
This is a rave
right
segment.
Right back, I get my rave. You
yes,
are listening
so
to
you listen
Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We're heard here every Friday at 3:00 p.m. Back over to Reverend Ray and our special guest, Erica McLeish, a licensed certified massage therapist.
Okay. Well, because I'm an entrepreneur at heart, and I'm always, as you mentioned, Erica, the percentage of people with disability and blind that is not working,
mm-hmm.
I'm always exploring possibilities, or when we interview blind individuals and low vision and the kind of jobs they're doing, can you turn it into a business?
Absolutely.
So we'll come
you
back
can.
To that again. But let
okay.
me ask you,
okay.
go ahead, Ms. Renee, some other questions we'd like to get to.
Yeah,
so
okay.
much.
Now, I know there's so much to ask you. I know that a lot of us are hunkered down over our computers and our phones. Now, is shoulder and neck the main pain complaint?
It's one of them. Shoulders, neck, low back, the glutes, which is your behind, in case you're – sorry, I'm using medical language here. But, your legs, depending. If people work at a desk a lot, they're going to have a lot of, you know, upper body pain. And the other thing with massage therapy is I work with a personal trainer, and she's wonderful. She's absolutely wonderful. She's the one person that said – I said, how are we going to do boot camp? She said, I don't know. We'll just figure it out. And that's exactly what we did. So I work with her for 2 hours every Saturday morning. I'm in a class. And I'm like, wait a minute. How am I going to do this? And we just walk from one circuit to the next, and we do our little exercises.
Wow.
Trampoline and everything. Like we work on the trampoline. We do, we do the stacker things, which are like these things that you have to stack fast, and then we do the chest press. So we're doing a lot, and she's great, man. She works with seniors. She works with disabled folks. She works with a lot of people. So
so is she working with you personally as your trainer, or you two are doing tandem work?
She works with me one day a week as my personal trainer. Well, she works with me and one other person, and then I work, and then I go to the boot camp on Saturday mornings from 10 to 12.
Let me just
follow up with the boot camp.
The boot camp is, it's a 2-hour class, and she does circuit training, like going from one, sort of hard to explain, on the going from one piece of equipment to the other. You're walking around kind of in a circle.
Oh,
and you
yes.
do like rope
right.
slams. You do chest press, and you have 30
right,
seconds
right.
between each exercise. So you have a little bit of time to walk between, and then she'll do like an hour of that, and then we'll do an hour on the trampoline. And I'm like, wait a
wow.
minute, how am I going to be on this trampoline? So it turns out that she has like a little pole that you can hold on to, because they have other
oh,
workouts.
While you jump.
Like,
oh, okay.
While you jump, and it's very, you do jumping jacks. I'm like, wait a minute, how in the world am I going to do a jumping jack on a trampoline, a small trampoline? I said, but I figured it out. So I hold on to the pole with one hand and do my modified jumping jack with the other. And I'm
oh,
like,
wow.
so exhausting.
Yeah, because I could see it now. You know, they call your son and say, well, you know, Erica was on the trampoline, and I turned to speak to someone. I turned back. She was gone. You didn't bounce away to someplace.
Oh, no. I have to hold on to something. I have to hold on to something.
Well, you know, that when he talked about your son,
that led me, that made me think about a question. Today's youngsters have grown up using electronic devices. So we've got these adults in here with shoulder and all of this. How young a person can you treat?
Oh, as far as massage?
Yes.
I have, well, I'm going by my experience. I've treated, I'm trying to think, the youngest person's probably been about 9. You know, the parents have to be in the room, of course, at least one parent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Depending on the place that you work, I guess I should say, because, you know, they have to sign a minor's consent form. And then I also do, I also work with pregnant women. So, of course, they have to, you know, sign off on, you know, with a intake form for pregnancy. So I work with pregnant women. I work with, you know, regular clients, pregnant clients. I do, reflexology, craniosacral therapy. So, it's, you know, I do a lot of different modalities, and I want to increase my – that's the thing about – if you want to be an excellent massage therapist, learn a lot. If you don't like learning, don't become a massage therapist. If you, you know, if you just want to get a paycheck, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying anything disrespectful. It's just that it's a lot of stuff to know. You have to be
right.
Somebody, you know, and it's not always easy to keep, you know, you have to really keep track of all your dates. Well, when is this CPR, you know, when is my CPR up? When is my,
let me go back to your exercise. Now, you have a personal trainer because you need to stay in shape because of the type of work you do, or is this just for your
It's both. Staying in shape, and it really helps me mentally just to, it's a lifelong goal because I'm all about healthy eating, exercise, because I see a lot of people that are really struggling with that. I mean, they're having serious health challenges, diabetes, heart disease. You know, it's heart disease. There's just a lot of
– You're right.
Yeah, you don't have to talk about me, Erica. Okay, go. No, I'm just going to keep. So that inspires you looking at these people – and massaging them and seeing what they're going through, and I guess you're almost like a bartender that people talk to you about, you know, their woes and stuff like that. That you realize how important health is.
Well, it's when I was growing up, health was important. I grew up like that. Like my dad was like, "No, you can't have McDonald's. No, you can't have we'd have junk sometimes, but not a lot.
Right.
So I kind of, it was ingrained in me already from a very, very young age, which, you know, I'll be 49 soon. So I'm really appreciative of that now that, you know, looking back.
Right.
And my trainer has really inspired me too. If you all want to come out and see her, she's really great. I can, you know, I don't know if she'd want me to give her information, but
we'd like to get her on the show, so we'll talk to her about that.
Oh, she'll love that.
Are we all special? Yeah, we'll do that because special always finding someone who can accommodate people with a disability. And like you just saying, and she accommodated and worked out how to train you. Those kind of people we really appreciate. There's not enough of them. So we really would like to have her on.
She's golden. Yeah, she's golden.
Okay.
I love her. She's absolutely wonderful. And she has so much energy.
Wow. Let me turn the focus back on you just for a minute.
You're fine.
What do you like best about massage therapy, being a massage therapist?
What do I like? Oh, my goodness, there's so many things. That I help people every day, as best as I can, you know, as best I can.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I've really learned is you'd never, even before somebody gets on your table, they might be talking to you, even when they get on the table, you don't know what somebody is going through. In other words, it could be a personal thing, it could be whatever it is. And some people, not all, some of the clients share personal things, some do, some don't.
Yeah.
And it's confidential, of course, because we're under HIPAA, but the thing is you just never know what somebody's going through, and I thought about it. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm a visually impaired or blind person taking care of somebody else now. Like, they're sighted, but I'm taking care of them. So the roles are actually reversed. That is the one thing that I can say, like, wait a minute. I'm helping them.
Yes, yes. Hmm. And I think we need to understand that it is a quid pro quo. It's not about blindness or able-bodiedness. It's about meeting people where they are. Just because we're almost running out of time, but I have to ask you, do you have any favorite stories from your work life that you can share with our
that that you can share on this family
oriented
show?
I guess just my coworkers, they're watching, because remember, I'm the only blind person at my job, and they're watching.
Right.
And one of the young ladies is like, you know, she was excited that I was going to be on your show. And then she says, Erica, you've got to watch this program on Netflix called Out of the Dark. It's about a blind woman who goes on all these adventures. I was like, I think it's called Out of the Dark. Or, no, it's called In the Dark.
Yes.
In the Dark. In the Dark.
Yes,
sorry.
I know the person. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, I'm not familiar with the show, but I'm probably going to watch it. But she's like, I thought of you when I, you know, thought of the show. So, and it's just really knowing God, knowing who he is. That's the main thing, you know, growing up with positive people. And it's tough out there. If you don't have the support from parents and friends, and you have to have that. And if you don't, you have to get it from somebody. So I pray that I'm one of the people to help.
Okay. Well, before you live, I'd be remiss in this. Being blind, know what it is to go through having a family, not having a family. People don't think blind people should have families. People don't think blind people should have anybody. I want you to share real quick with us about you got three sons. What is your family life like in raising three sons as a blind a mother?
I mean, my husband has helped out. He's sighted, and he helps out. And the boys are old enough now, I'll be like, okay, so-and-so, you know, can you do this or that? And sometimes I think I ask the boys for too much, but they're happy to
you
help.
You feed them and house them. You ain't asking them too much. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. And my oldest one now is 18, and his goal is he wants to be an electrician, so...
Okay.
Need any electrical work? Not yet. He's not there yet. He'll start soon, hopefully, with an apprenticeship. But, you know, and the church has really helped because my husband's a musician. So they helped us out tremendously when the boys were younger, you know, with things that we needed. We were young parents at the time, you know, clothes or whatever. They helped us. And I've never forgotten that.
I think faith is so important. Let me ask you my last question, because I have to get back to engineering. Do you see yourself as a blind massage therapist or a massage therapist who happens to be blind?
Boy, I love that question. Maybe a little of both, but I would say the latter, a massage therapist who happens to be blind.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Wow. All right. So as we leave, and what would you say, Eric, and I really appreciate this, what would you, and you heard my campaign speech, so I definitely want you to vote for me, and I'll have you back on the show again to pay you off. Oh, no. So anyway, Erica, we're leaving our audience. What nugget would you give them in terms of not just being a chosen field, but as a blind person, because it's not easy for people with a disability to get out there to show that they can do. And I know you had the family support, you had the church support, but what is the one advice you would give a person with a disability in pursuing a occupation?
Never give up. I mean, I know that sounds cliche. Don't give up. If you don't have support, find it from friends, if you know, find it wherever you can get it, and know that things eventually will work out. It may not work out in your time, but they do work out eventually.
Thank you so much, Eric, and it's a pleasure to know you and to be able to work with you. And tell the boys we say hello, and they do anything you ask them until they can start buying their own food, having their own laundry. Okay. So anyway, thank you, Eric, and God bless you. And we hope this has been fun for us and informative, entertaining, and inspirational. We thank you so much, and thank you, and tell your employer that we appreciate them giving us the opportunity to interview you. All right.
Thank you, Renee.
God
thank
bless.
You,
thank you. Thank you.
All right. Okay. God bless you. God bless you.
You.
All righty. And you know, Miss Renee, one thing that she said when I asked her about what nugget she would leave with a person with a disability pursuing, and she said not to give up. And I'll put it in another word, that they did a survey, and they asked some wealthy people across section of wealthy people, millionaires and billionaires, and people that have achieved, and they asked them. And they had, you know, like, was it attitude that made you successful? They asked them what made them successful. Was it attitude? Was it coming from a wealthy family? Was it having a high IQ? Was it being a nice person? Was it being a person that was attractive? And what they found out, the number one thing that made people successful, perseverance. And
yes,
as Erica said, they don't give up. It's perseverance.
Up.
That's why when you look at some people and you say, how in the world did they get this? Or I can do that. But do you have the perseverance? Especially in this day and age where if we live in a microwave society, everybody wants things done in 10 seconds. You know?
Exactly.
So anyway,
exactly.
Reverend
Speaking
Ray
of
get
10
off his
seconds,
soapbox
we are
of philosophy.
Out of time.
Yes, yes, yes. So anyway, Ms. Renee, it's time for us to go. So this is Reverend. So our time is up. I thank you for your time. Until the next time, this is Reverend Ray. And I like to say, I might not have sight, but I can have vision, vision, vision. God bless and be blessed.
You have been listening to Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio. Have an idea for a show? Contact us in all the usual ways. Email us at sndradioshow@gmail.com. Those are the letters sndradioshow@gmail.com. Or call us at 301-377-6468. 301-377-6468. Want to listen to a past show? Type in the address bar, Disability One Radio. That's disability, the number one, radio.com. Yep, the address bar. Yeah, that one up in the left-hand corner. Yeah, ask the millennial. They'll show you. Anyway, thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you again next Friday at 3:00 p.m.